Namaste once again. Today's topic, material progress and moral obligation. Though it sounds very simple and all of us somewhere are in a material progress in life and we all have a moral obligation to whatever is happening in our life. Today's topic we are going to deal is a little from the theosophical point of view as well as from the layman's point of view. First of all, to begin with, let's understand what is the meaning of progress from the dictionary. It means a forward or onward movement towards a destination or something which is developing towards an improved or advanced condition. And material progress means something to do with the physical objects. So that is material progress. And what is an obligation? An obligation is the sense, what is that act or course of action to which a person is bound? And here, since it's moral obligation, how a person is bound morally or a commitment. So once we know what is the definition of it, let's go back and see how this talk is going to be today. I'm going to deal with it in five ways. First, we are going to look into some of the past aspects of the meaning of this material progress and moral obligation. Some of the present. Why is it so important to our living? A great light on the theosophical point of view. And finally, we will conclude. I hope you are all with me. Please spare your 40 minutes so that I would be happy to share from my point of view what is material progress and moral obligation. First of all, let's look into our ancient scriptures. The ancient scriptures had given us what is called as a way of living. What is this way of living? It would say that there is dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Dharma means the righteousness or duty. Those are the moral values. The artha means the wealth or the economic values. The kama means the desire, that is the psychological values. And moksha is the liberation or the spiritual values. All this, they are not standalone, but they are mutually important. For example, if you take as a dharma, each person has a dharma, maybe a professional life, family life, maybe a doctor, teacher, writer, warrior, anything, a student. So that's all about the righteousness or the duty towards a dharma. Dharma can be taken in many other ways, but here I'm taking it as in this form. And artha is the wealth or the pursuit of material wealth that a person takes. There is nothing wrong in creating wealth or acquiring a desire to have the wealth, like the kama. But when it is not rightly used, or when the self becomes more important, that is to be questioned. We have to fulfill the needy, our needs. But can we transcend them? can we think of the bigger picture? Our ancients made this. It was called as Purusharthas. With a lot of thinking, I believe. Because in a nutshell, these are the four principles of the purpose of life. The same way, the ancients also looked at balancing of these four principles. If you look deeply, two of them are in the material progress and two are in the moral obligation. Having said so, let us look at the famous philosopher Marcus Aurelius. Even he said that we should work towards something larger than ourselves, a collective good while treating people justly and fairly. Nature is unselfish and we should be too. And as social animals, anything that benefits all benefits individuals too. We are all one, all interconnected. The universe is harmonious, therefore, do not act against others. Now, when we compare these two, I'm just taking one example of the East and the West. Our ancients knew that this was the actual way of material progress, and we had a moral obligation when we are progressing, because we cannot disconnect ourselves from anybody. This is what the Theosophy talks about, the universal brotherhood, the universal oneness. At the same time, you have to give a thought to how much have you thought about the effect of your doings upon nature, about animals, plants, minerals, elemental kingdoms? Have you been so selfish as to suppose they are not affected by you? So our progress has to be holistic. There's nothing wrong in progress. There's nothing wrong in material progress. But what is the obligation or the moral obligation towards it? Coming to the present generation, we have what is called a Lagom principle, which is happening in Sweden. Very different, but having the same idea. It is called the Swedish Lagom, the Swedish act of just enough. Neither too much, neither too less. We are today living in a life of excess. Forever wanting a pursuit of bigger, better, faster, more and more. Somewhere to find a balance, this principle was started in Sweden, which says not too much or not too little. Finding a balance in everything. It can be work, it can be relationship, it can be your food, it can be your living, it can be your ethics, or whatever it is. It is neither too much, neither too little. Somewhere I'm finding a balance. The present generation is somehow attracted to this principle, and in a good way. It teaches about living sustainably and somewhere brings in the concept of minimalistic attitude. Like Gandhiji says, there is enough for everyone's need and not for everyone's greed. Somewhere this principle is helping the present generation in a very glamorous way maybe, but it is doing a lot of good. It was my experience of having met Swedish people and from whom I came to know about this concept. there's another concept happening in Japan too. It's called ikigai, where there's a sense of balance between passion, vocation, and there is a mission in life, or having a sense of purpose in life. These are the small things, a little bit of light that we are seeing around, where people are becoming conscious of what is their moral obligation to the world at large, to our earth, and to our fellow being. Having said so, let us look from the theosophical point of view. Moral means what is concerned with the principles of right and wrong. How do you align your behavior, keeping thoughtfulness on every decision that you make? How do you choose and make a choice? Why is it important? Theosophy clearly says that the existence of a single divine absolute and universe is perceived as an outward reflection from this absolute. The purpose of human life is spiritual emancipation, and human soul undergoes reincarnation upon bodily death according to the process of karma. It promotes values of universal brotherhood of oneness, as each has the power to take the course which to him seems, but in taking the course, the soul and must sow, and he must also reap, as what is the nature of his sowing. Every being in the universe of law is experiencing as he is because of his own thoughts, words, and deeds. Each one of us represents both the spiritual, the highest divine nature, and also the very lowest. In other words, man is spiritual, in fact, and thinking himself material and separate and acting in accordance with his thinking, he brings about the battle between the two natures in him, says Robert Crosby. When we see that there is nothing higher than the essence of our being, and acting from this basis of spiritual nature, from the basis of absolute, unerring law, once these ideas are held in mind, unity of spirit, thought, and action. Once the ideas are held in mind of this unity of spirit, thought, and action takes place. We are the creators of, it is for us to decide how we think and build a strong path, which the great masters of wisdom has shown us. It's very clear that when we help others, it is helping ourselves. We do not realize it, that's all. We cannot progress ourselves alone, but we can progress collectively. This is the underlying universal essence of everything. Or Jesus simply put it in two lines. He says, "Do unto others what you would like to do unto you." Or love your neighbor as thyself. Having said so, let us take a small break and look at a poem. Two poems, I would say. One is of the present generation and one is of the past. Or I would say one of my favorite poet, Wordsworth. First, let me say about the read to you a poem which was written about recently. A person who has done a movie called Wellness, A Cure for Wellness. In this he says, "A man unsees the truth. He cannot willingly return to darkness and go blind once he has the gift of sight, any more than he can be unborn." we are only species capable of self-reflection. The only species with also with the toxin of self-doubt. Unequal to our gifts, we build, we buy, we consume. We build, we buy, we consume. We wrap ourselves in the illusion of material success. We cheat and deceive and we claw our way. We cheat and we deceive and we claw our way to the pinnacle of what we define as achievement. A cure for wellness. There is a sickness inside us. It is there in every one of us. We deny it till one day something happens within and we rebel. It's better to say, I'm not a well man and take in the cure for the sickness. It is better to say, I'm blind and slowly open your eyes. Having said so, I'm glad that the present generation is thinking of a time and place where we have forgotten that material success or material progress cannot bring us happiness. It is important, it is definitely needed for our needs. But is it the end of it? What is our moral obligation? Let us look at another poem, which is Wordsworth's poem. Wordsworth in 1802 criticized the world of the first industrial revolution, absorbed in materialism and distancing itself from nature. This is a beautiful poem. I'll just read a little few lines, but you can go back and refer to it. The world is too much with us. Let and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature, that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon, the sea that bases her bosom to the moon. The winds that will be howling at all hours are up gathered now like sleeping flowers. For this, for everything, we are out of tune. It moves us not, great God, I'd rather be a pagan, suckled in a creed outworn. So mighty I, standing on this pleasantly, have glimpses that would make me less forlorn. Have sight of Proteus rising from the sea, or hear old Triton blow his wreathed horn. Both these examples of poems, one of the old world and one of the new world, tells us that the cure is within humanity itself. What is the cure? Material progress, yes, we need it. But a conscious material progress, just for our needs, and then with a moral obligation for altruistic feeling. In the sense, universal altruism of universal brotherhood. At the same time, let us be very clear that when you say an obligation or maybe charity or philanthropy, every religion is doing it today. Many religious missionaries are there, may it be Hinduism or Islam or Christianity or maybe different trust, they're all doing. But with the fact that it is only for the Christian brethren, or the Hindu brethren, or even a sect or a caste. But why is it not open to all? Only theosophy, somebody teaches us there is no religion higher than truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that we are all one. When this enters or is imbibed, I think that time our eyes are opened and then the blind can see. I think each one of us must have experienced it in our real life. About the questions of you're materially progressing and there is an obligation, which a very moral obligation comes along your way. You are in dilemma whether am I going, can I am into this material progress, do I do this or do I come away and be obligated to do what is morally right? Like Krishna says very clearly in the chapter 7, that in all creatures and the desire regulated by moral fitness. Every desire that you have is okay, but there should be a moral fitness to it. I'm sure we are all in the dilemma when our desire is not regulated by moral fitness and we are in chaos and a kind of a distress within ourselves. Why does this distress come? Because I alone progressing is not the end of it. At the same time, if you are into philanthropy, altruism, or doing something good, it does not mean just giving money. It can be giving your time. It can be being compassionate, being of service. Even that is an obligation. At the same time, when you're performing this action, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the right performer of action, abandoning fruit of action, attains to rest through devotion. You should not be bothered what is the outcome of your doing, but you are just morally obligated to do service. Let me give an example from my own life. I being a farmer, an agriculturist, there was a need. There was a lot of, I'm growing coffee, pepper. There are a lot of grass which grows. Year after year, you have to weed it out. The weeds and the grass. So the best thing that all the agriculturists do is spray pesticides or in such a way that everything dies and all the grass is dead and then you can have your crop. Yes, you would make a little more money by saving because literally cutting the grass in hand is difficult, but spraying the chemical can kill that grass instantly. Having come into theosophy, when you understand that we are all responsible for every elemental kingdom, even the plants. And you are doing a lie by spraying chemicals, and the same goes into the earth. And the same grows into your crops that you grow. I was morally obligated never to do so. Yes, the profits were less, the hardships were more, the work was more. But it was all worth it. If by consciously, all the decisions that we make, whether it is our family life or whether it's our professional life, if we keep these two in mind, am I progressing the right way, the ethical way, the honest way? Is my progress for the betterment of all? What is my moral obligation here? What is my ethical value here? I think it would make a a small change in a big way. One candle lit and shared by many, or maybe many candles will be lit by that one little candle. Yes, you will have the light. I gave this small example so that there are many examples, I'm sure, in every one of our lives where so many of us have done good thinking for the betterment of all. So many sacrifices, whether it's for family or for professional life or your brethren or friends or even for the society at large. There are a lot of unheard, unseen heroes. And even in the present generation, there are a lot of youngsters who are consciously looking at, where am I going? What is my progress? Is my progress for the betterment of all? This is what is the need of the hour today. People are all under COVID. And somewhere it feels that fear is, why is this happened to us? What about the degradation that we have done to our nature? What about the frenzy of progress and progress and progress that every one of us talk about? In one of the documentaries of minimalistic attitude, I was surprised to hear Jim Carter say these few words. It's clear that the true problems of our nations are deeper. He's talking about America. And I think it's for all of us. Self-indulgence and consumption. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but what one owns. We have become a society which glorifies dons and not sages. Only things and consuming does not satisfy our longing for meaning. The consumerism attitude or the materially progressing attitude, which goes towards greed, is what we need to think about. Are we loving people less and using loving things more? And using people more than using things? We are using people for our material progress. We are using nature for our material progress indiscriminately. This is the disease that we need to get a wellness for. Our own Gandhiji's idea of Sarvodaya. Of trusteeship. About wealthy people would be the trustees of trust that looked after the welfare of people in general. This will bring about a universal upliftment. If you look at the universe, it is abundant. There is enough for everyone. At the same time, our ancient scriptures and also the Bhagavad Gita tells very much how to be remain unattached to our possessions and put it for better use. The example of Vadiyaji, who went on to say in his book, Thus Have I Heard, man the thinker has not been able to follow the teachings of the long line of sages which states, allow not the force of vice to lead your mind, but so educate the mind that it follows the lead of the force of virtue. Knowledge bereft of love, of compassion, of charity, of harmony, flourishes, and mass thought action stifles the voice of spirit, even in the good individual. There's enough of thought. There's enough of consciousness in each one of us. Whether the illuminated minds of Gautama Buddha, which I read in the beginning of the Dhammapada, or the wisdom of Jesus, or Krishna, all the consciousness, all of the great Shankara, they were all showing us the path. It's not to give away everything and go to the Himalayas and sit like a monk. No. Live in the midst. Take care of your needs, of your family. Do your dharma. At the same time, look at a bigger picture of life. What is it in your own small way that you can make a difference? Imagine if every one of us can think like this. If this thought is spread like a virus, it will be a good virus. If the thought of greed has spread like a virus, why not the thought of universal brotherhood? Why not the thought of universal altruism? Why not the thought of conscious living? I think these are all the questions we need to ask ourselves. It doesn't mean that we have to forget about living life and enjoying life. There's so much of beauty in life. It says Satyam Shivam Sundaram. This Satya, this is the truth of universal oneness, universal brotherhood. When my brother progresses, I progress. When I progress, my brother too has to progress. I would say that if theosophy prevailing in the struggle, in all embracing philosophy, strikes deep root into the minds and hearts of men, if its doctrines of reincarnation and karma, in other words, of hope and responsibility, find a home in the lives of this new generation, then indeed will dawn the day of joy and gladness for all who now suffer and are outcast. This is from the ULT pamphlet. You cannot call yourself a theosophist when you do not live the principles of theosophy. This may be a public talk, but why not we collectively spread this virus, this good virus? Of being conscious about our material progress and having a moral obligation for all our brothers and sisters. All religions have this sense of community. let us make it all altruistic. Whether it's Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islamism, Jainism, Judaism, Sikhism, why don't we emphasize on our altruistic morality? Basic principle of altruism is that man has no right to exist for his own sake, that service to others is the only justification of his existence. How deep is that? Like in The Voice of Silence, Madame Blavatsky tells us that the path of wisdom is through the path of service, and there is no other way. Let every man prove by his own work. She says, what is needed is the ideal of compassion and of service, and the practice is ethics, is the most important duty in theosophy. It's not the materializing religion or with shallow materialism and hollow philanthropy, but true compassion, universal unity, universal solidarity, sowing the seeds of karma and reincarnation, the philosophy of karma and reincarnation. The tendency of modern civilization, she says, is a reaction towards animalism, towards the development of these qualities, which conduce to the success in life of man as an animal in the struggle for animal existence. Theosophy, in turn, seeks to develop the human nature in man, perfectly harmonizing the divine with the human, with qualities of kindness, absence of ill feeling, charity, goodwill to all, perfect justice to oneself and others. I end this talk by saying again the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, which says, do unto others what you would like them to do unto you. Love thy neighbor as yourself. So let your material progress be not only for your own, but for the good of all.
Sharing my experience.
Yes.
There have been many occasions when some injury was done to me, and I had the opportunity of theosophic study. I consciously, inwardly forgive. This is not one or two times, many times. Those who have ill feeling towards me, I have good feelings towards them. So like this, everyone can practice forgiveness. And gratitude. How can you ever forget all the benefits that is coming to you from every side and not feel the gratitude? These two is a very strong value in my life. So like that, in every student, it is the same.
True. And very beautifully said.
Yeah. Another thing I found in my service in the forestry, there was, you know, forest is always under pressure for development. Hundreds of square kilometers are gone for irrigation projects, power projects. And when the department invokes the law of environment, forest conservation and environment, to oppose it, we are all called anti-development people. And I have seen in service how this mad rush for industrial progress has devastated villages. But I had the good fortune to see some of the NGOs like Mairada, who undertook integral rural development with watershed as the basis in perpetually drought-stricken areas in Kolar, Gulbarga, with community participation, with community training, and making the community self-reliant. I've seen this in action. The NGO, what selfless service NGOs are doing, transformed a cluster of villages into prosperity. I was deeply impressed with this, and I participated in those projects as a forestry representative. I've seen with my own eyes what benefit flows. This is, you know, the benefits flow to the last man, the humblest, who plows the land and grows food for us. I've seen this benefit flowing to him. Water conservation improved the water quality. The fodder and enough agricultural output, horticultural output, and benefit from animal husbandry, and village communities becoming self-reliant in credit facility by local credit arrangement. Prosperity spread. So this is the kind of thing that wherever such a thing is going on, it is our obligation to participate in it, give wholehearted support to it. And HPP says somewhere in Key, I think, wherever such general and wider base of progress in the which will promote make life of common man better, the have-nots get life better, and which has for its aim betterment of all in holistic sense, it is a duty of the Theosophists to support it, participate in it, create public opinion about it. So this is a personal experience.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing this. And also I would like to share another experience of the, this time since I am a Rotarian, the children, since the schools are closed and the midday meal is not given, we were thinking how we can go about feeding the children. So this year, instead of making a show and we decided that we're not going to make a show of our Rotary activities, but we are going to find out the address of every home where the children come for the midday meals. And we made it a point to collect grains, rice, dal, and oil and eggs and to distribute to the homes. This was noted by other Rotary clubs too, and many of them did it too, without a show. I think every one of us are given an opportunity. This is an opportunity to be grateful for, because this was given to you. This thought was there in you. Each one of us can do. And imagine the joy of the families when they received this. And imagine the joy of the child also. Whatever it is, the food is given. This is another example where all progress, if consciously we're thinking of a moral obligation, I think there won't be like, I remember underlining this aspect when I read this Karma Nemesis in Secret Doctrine, which says, with right knowledge or at any rate, with a confident conviction that our neighbors will no more work or hurt us than we would think of harming them, the 2/3 of the world's evil would vanish into thin air. So when we think of such thoughts that Theosophy has put into us and put it into action, I think the world would be a better place.
Yes, yes. In fact, this is wholly unknown to the modern world, that our actions have consequences, moral consequences. Now they're realizing our actions have consequences on physical nature, but there's no general awareness that our thoughts and feelings and our ways of life have profound impact on the occult world and our karmic consequences. That is not known. I think that is to be, this knowledge is to be, this knowledge is to be actually disseminated. This is very, very important. Unless this is affected, there's no hope at all.